Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast and the Everything Church Related podcast. Today, back on the line is our good friend Stan Dale, and he's coming back on. We're going to be discussing some events going on in the news that you see almost every night, but we're going to look at it from a prophetic angle as far as what may be in store. And you know, let me just tell you a little bit about Stan. Stan was on about a year ago, and we just had a great conversation. And matter of fact, Stan, I failed to tell you before we joined one on the air that your episodes were some of our highest downloaded episodes.
Really?
The whole year, yeah. And so we brought Stan back on to catch us up with some things that we've seen on the news and we're concerned about and wanted to get his take on it. Now, Stan has been called a real-life Indiana Jones. I mean, his story is one that I feel you'll find intriguing and hard to believe. But I'll also allow him to present the facts as he sees them. Then you make your own decision. But the graphs and pictures on his website back up the narrative that you're about to hear. I feel his story is one that needs to be shared, so that's why we're doing this episode again today. To try and describe Stan's background is like reading a novel. If I tried to recap everything, we'd be here the whole hour just talking about that. So I'll just highlight a couple of things for you. And refer you back to Stan's website, standale.com. Now, Stan worked on classified projects down in Australia for Dr. Ed Teller to develop anti-gravity propulsion technology from 1972 to 73 and was not allowed to return back to the United States until 2001 when the former Secretary of Defense, Jim Schlesinger, allowed him to return home. He's trained in systems and programming since 1964. He currently lives in Pueblo, Colorado with his wife, Holly. And he's a research physicist, formerly and self-educated. He's the author of several books, six scientific papers. He's an amateur archaeological expert on the Middle East. And he discovered where, well, first he actually knew the original, quote-unquote, Indiana Jones, and explored his digs near the Wadi, and I'm going to try and pronounce this, you correct me, Stan, Ha-Kippah in the Qumran, or in other words, Israel. He claims to have found the actual location of the mythical Atlantis in 2015. He started researching Atlantis in 1989, but found that by using satellite imagery, the research took it to a whole new level. We could go on talking about that. He talks about Noah's flood on his website. And we also will be discussing things going on in the Middle East. And that's where I want to get to today, Dan, without taking any more time discussing, you know, the things we covered on our last programs. But folks, help me welcome to the program my good friend Stan Dale. Stan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you again. There's a lot happening in the news.
Oh, boy. Almost every night.
It's like musical chairs at the White House, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it? That's the first thing I wanted to bring up is
good.
The change of command between Rex Tillerson and, I don't want to say his dovish attitude towards other nations, especially in the Middle East, and the bringing in of Pompeo, who has that more hawkish attitude. Can you go ahead and discuss that? We'll get that started first, because I think that's going to kind of shape the entire narrative for today.
All right. Yes, you're right. The sudden dismissal of Rex Tillerson really has been coming for a while. It's just been officially, you know, at some point in time, the president wanted to make it happen. Now, I find it interesting, as you said, that Rex Tillerson did not support the withdrawal of the Iran agreement. He wants to leave it in place, and President Trump says, no, let's cut it off. And I agree with President Trump. Now, that makes him kind of on the surface, a peacenik, that Rex Tillerson. But I think there's more to it than that as far as a globalist agenda. Now, why did President Trump replace him now with the hawk, you know, with Mike Pompeo? Now, I think, and I'm going to guess here, but I know that on the 20th of this month, 4 days from now, that Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia is arriving on a world tour he's been making of the major leaders and now hitting President Trump. Now, President Trump, you know, he was wined and dined over in Saudi Arabia, you know, early in his peace as president, and made peace deals with him, made arms sales agreements with Saudi Arabia, all this kind of stuff. So we're shaking hands with him. But in the ensuing 12 to 15 months, Prince bin Salman has risen to power. Even though he's not officially king, he is king de facto because his father, King Salman, is suffering from dementia, from Alzheimer's. And so, you know, he has the title of king, his father does, but he actually, the country's being run by this crown prince. Now, MBS, as they call him, Mohammed bin Salman, is, you know, he's formed an alliance of some 41 Arab nations over there, allegedly, to attack Iran. Now, that would be in agreement with what President Trump wants to do, is to get rid of Iran out of the whole picture. Now, the Saudis and their alliance are doing it because they want to get rid of the Shiite Muslim concept, which is, you know, bred the ISIS type of environment on the planet. All right. Now, this young leader has overthrown 3,000 years of anger and conflict between the Arab nations and Israel, even though Israel hasn't, you know, been a full nation and again until 1948. But right. This conflict over the ownership of the land there, it's been, you know, a real serious thorn in agreements, you know, and alliances between the Arabs and Israel. Well, all of a sudden, MBS, Prince MBS, goes over in the last year and starts making friends with Israel, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, he's, you know, brought the dove of peace and all that kind of stuff, which is totally out of character for the whole Middle East and for Saudi Arabia.
Especially Muslims, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think that Prime Minister Ben Netanyahu is aware of the risk here in being friends with Saudi Arabia, especially this young prince who is kind of very ambitious, climbing to the top, getting rid of his opponents, you know, taking money from them on assets, all that kind of stuff. He is a real rising power, the rising power in the Middle East. In fact, some articles are saying he's the man to be feared on the whole planet because his actions could destabilize the whole world order at the moment. So now this guy is appearing in the White House on the 20th to talk something with President Trump. Now, President Trump needs to know everything he can about what's really happening with MBS in the background. So he needs intelligence, right?
All right.
Who's been gathering the intelligence? Mike Pompeo, CIA director.
Yep.
Now, to have him replace Tillerson as a hawk and with in-depth, detailed knowledge of what's happening in the Middle East, especially with Saudi Arabia, that guy would be the perfect guy to sit down in the discussions with the president and MBS. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why he made this timely switch, because he wants his, you know how President Trump is when he negotiates. He does some funny things. And I think this is part of a ploy. And I'm sure MBS has seen this happen. You know, okay, I'm getting greeted now by the head of CIA, so I can't, you know, lie, you know, or mislead, least as far as their intelligence.
Because if everything had remained the same and Trump wanted his CIA director into this meeting, that would be kind of frowned upon. You know, why the CIA? You know, Secretary of State makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The shift made, and yeah, okay, I can see that now.
I believe that's what's happening there. That's just my opinion based on, you know, what I know about the Middle East. And behind the scenes now, Tillerson wasn't happy with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, making peace arrangements in the Middle East. And what people mm-hmm. are not probably aware of in the main is that young Kushner has been traveling from the United States to Saudi Arabia and to Israel and various other countries, Egypt. He's been negotiating some sort of a peace agreement between the Palestinian Authority and these nations and between themselves and Israel. Now, this could be what Daniel was talking about, as the Antichrist will ratify the a covenant with Israel and the many nations. Now, that doesn't mean that Kushner would be the guy. It would be the prince.
Yeah.
Okay, and who do we have as a prince? And how long is he going to be a prince and not a king?
Right.
I mean, the days are numbered for he's dead because he's ill and, you know, okay, physically ill as well. So if MBS is the Antichrist, you know, a Middle East Arab Muslim Antichrist of this age, then he is going to identify himself. He's going to be, you know, revealed. And one of the things that will reveal him most certainly is the signing of this covenant, you know, agreeing to it, ratifying it at the beginning of the tribulation period of 7 years. And now, if he does this in the next, what, month or less,
months,
whatever, we're at the beginning of the tribulation.
Exactly.
And he's the guy. Now, I say if, okay, if. You know, on my Show Images page, if you look at the Hagman report, you know, the on the Show Images page, and you go down to way down toward the bottom, almost to the bottom where slide 13 is. 13 is,
sure,
you know.
The right one pulled up here.
Okay.
On the Hagman?
Yeah, and then slide down.
That's one I had up there. Okay, all the way down.
Okay, all the way down to 13. Yeah. And I think I chose 13 for the obvious reason, but if you click on that, on the pictures there, that takes you into a comparison of four, five, you know, well, six, I think,
right,
including Obama, possible candidates for the Antichrist of this age.
Yeah.
Now, okay, the only one that really hits all the markers is Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah, his column is full.
Yeah, and he even hits a marker for what Nostradamus said the Antichrist, the third Antichrist would be, what his name would be. And I don't usually, you know, say, okay, trust Nostradamus, because he's on the New Age, you know, side of things, seers and all that kind of stuff. But even that side get things right occasionally. And one of the things that's been a mystery in those people that follow Nostradamus is the name of the third Antichrist is Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. And if you look under a picture of Bin Salman there on that Antichrist page, second little block down there, where it talks about he's already formed an Arabic union of some 34 countries. Well, when I made this, it was 34, but he's now gone to 41. He has arms, weapons, even nuclear bombs with Pakistan. It's in the arrangement. And here this guy is. He is being called, has been for over a year or two, in the hallways there of government. Oh, in Saudi Arabia, he's been called MBS. Now, the reason is, of course, his name is Mohammed bin Salman, but his cousin was really the supposed to take over the kingship. He was the prince, you know, the king-elect, and his name was Mohammed bin Nayef. And so they were both Mohammed bins, one Nayef, one you know, Salman. Mm-hmm. So in the hallways, to keep them straight, they'd yell, MBN or MBS, okay? Now, okay, fine. Well, MBS is the three consonants of the name Mabus.
Yeah.
And this young fellow has made an Arabic union of 41 nations, AU. And you can see how it's M-A-B-U-S. And you know, so coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just telling you there's so many things about this guy. He's building a multi-billion dollar city over in southwest Saudi Arabia, called Neo. You're aware of that, right?
No.
Oh, Neo. Let me see if I've got a list to a link to Neo here. There. No. Okay. Just give me a second. I got to go back up through those things there and see if I've got it. One of the other things, because I do talk about it, but I don't like to just, you know, ramble on about a product, you know, a situation forever and ever. So it's not there. All right, one more place to look. And if I can't find it, what you'll need to do is look up on the internet. You can do that now, actually. Look up N-E-O-M. Just look it up.
N-E-O-M, all right. N-E-O-M.
Okay. Nelly Echo Oscar Mama, Neom.
Okay.
Now, if you do that, you will see that this is a huge investment that he's making to build a massive city.
$500 billion.
Yeah, at least. Now, he has chosen this to be in the area where the real Mount Sinai is, which is next to Jabal al-Laws there. That's where Moses, you know, did most of the, you know, the sacrificing or whatever after they had escaped from Egypt and they were settling just south of his father-in-law Jethro's place. And it's in the northern part, the northern tip of that city of Neo. That encompasses where, you know, the Jewish nation started, really, in essence, from after the Exodus.
Yeah.
Okay, so look between that city boundary, which is on the edge of the Gulf of Aden and on the Red Sea, and look across. There's another landmass, which is the Sinai Peninsula. He's even talking about building a bridge across that so that the Sinai Peninsula is connected to the Neom city.
Really?
Now, the reason I bring that up is because in the Antichrist page, let me just get down here to slide 13 and go over here to the Antichrist page to Muhammad bin Salman. It talks, let's see. Okay. C's. Tents. Let me find tents in there. It talks about the Antichrist in Daniel. Anyway, casting his tents between the seas. Now, that's down toward the bottom third of Muhammad bin Salman. And you'll see that it says that, could he be the Assyrian? Okay, underneath that, the Holy Mountain. It says, is at Jabal el-Lawz in Saudi Arabia, and the place where Prince Muhammad bin Salman is building his Neom city, between that mountain and the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. The King James Bible says, and the Antichrist, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious Holy Mountain. Mm. That's where God saw, Moses there. Mm. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him, etc. It's in Daniel 11:45.
Yeah.
So, okay. As I say, his column is so full compared to the other guys. I mean, he has
the other ones have long things. You know, for people just listening and not seeing the, seeing what we're talking about. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 columns of possible Antichrist candidates. We'll call them that. And you know, there's gaps in all the other columns where Muhammad bin Salman is solid all the way down to the bottom of the page. There's information in every different category the stand has, where all the other ones have gaps in there. So that's what he's talking about. His is solid.
You know, there's a gap in all of them. I'm looking over here at Erdogan of Turkey, and we know he's grabbing for power. We know that he thinks that the former Raja or whatever of Turkey there, whose name was Soleimani, was, he hung the moon. He thinks that Soleimani is great. Well, Soleimani is a derivative of the name Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's important. I digress a bit, but the clue in Revelation 13 about the Antichrist, everybody's taken it to mean that, his 666 means the geometric sum of the guy's name in some language. Was it Greek? Was it English? Was it Arabic? Mm-hmm. Was it Hebrew? And I looked at that and I thought, Revelation 13:18, have we missed the boat here? Doesn't the Bible have the information to answer every code that the prophets put in? Okay. So I said, Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. Okay, so go look for where wisdom is in the Bible. Okay, well, wise guys, not the mafia meaning, but wisdom was King Solomon.
Yeah, that's going to say Solomon was supposed to be the one given all the wisdom.
So. Right. So you look at that and you say, okay, so the Antichrist will be like Solomon, maybe be named Solomon. Then it says further in Revelation 13:18, let him who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Count the number. Well, that's why everybody thought, right, okay, that was Gematria, the sum of the letters of the name and whatever. But wait a minute. The number is 666. Where in the Bible is that associated with wisdom guy? Well, surprise, surprise. King Solomon collected, earned, mined, whatever. You got in tributes, 666 talents of gold every year. That's mighty. Now, he was rich. He is known for 666, talents of gold.
Yeah.
And he was, a powerful man with an army and whatever. And he did go bad, his wife.
At the end,
yeah. Yeah, he went bad. But also he did something else. when he was still in graces with God and had finished building the temple, Solomon's temple, King Solomon called the men of Israel together, all the people together around, and he made a long speech dedicating this temple to God. And at the end of the speech, he prayed to God to bless this, and fire came down out of the sky. And ignited it, right? Okay.
Yeah.
If you go down to, I think it's in Daniel, where you're talking about the Antichrist's age, he's going to cause fire to come down in the sight of men. Yeah. In the Bible case of Solomon, it was in the men of Israel. But this is for the whole world when we get to Daniel. You see
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And with the technology we've got today, he could do that. He could drop, lightning bolts out of orbit somewhere and strike a target, and the new Temple of Solomon. Again, on that issue, too, the Temple of Solomon was a small building compared to the temple in the time of Jesus, Herod's temple. And people keep thinking that the Temple Mount is where Herod's temple was built. I don't doubt that it was probably that area and possibly on the mount, but it was most likely a place where the Roman garrison that was stationed there in Jerusalem was housed. It's the right size. It's laid out the same way they did the ones they did in Europe. And if that was where the Roman garrison was, it would be above where the temple of Herod was. And the temple of Herod was built on the same site as the temple of Solomon, but bigger. So if the Roman plateau up there, the Temple Mount, was where they were looking down on the temple, then the temple would be off of the Temple Mount and down at that corner at the place called Ophel, O-F-E-L, in Jerusalem. And there are people now digging and excavating it, archaeologists, and they have found what may be the lead to real Solomon's temple right there.
Okay.
Ancient stuff underground, all buried, and rocks strewn everywhere, a river flowing or a stream flowing where they needed to have the water for the sacrifice in the Solomon's temple. Mm-hmm. Everything points to that. So our Antichrist could go there, build a new Solomon's temple on that footprint, and fulfill, again, the prophecies in Daniel. In alliance with MBS is Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Erdogan, his news people have openly stated here in the last 3 or 4 years that why don't we let the Jews build the Temple of Solomon, not the Herodian temple, but the Temple of Solomon. We'll let them have that and they can worship there and that'll be okay. It'll be out of our way. So there's already precedence there for Turkey to help. And of course, Mohammed bin Salman think it's great. All of them to build the Temple of Solomon down on the foot of the wall that holds up the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
These things are so incredibly exciting and happening so quickly that, you could miss it if you blinked your eyes.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, that, things are accelerating. And the Bible's clear that in the time of the end, they'll begin to accelerate basically out of control. That once it starts, nobody's going to be able to stop it until the return of Christ.
It's like that snowball rolling downhill, isn't it? We're down to
exactly.
Bottom.
Yeah, we're sitting in the car looking up at the side of the mountain as the whole thing sliding towards you. It hasn't hit you yet, but you're not going to escape it.
Yeah. They're just wondrous things happen if you just pay attention to prophecy and treat it as the Bible is true. This is one of the big problems that the millennial age has here with the millennials being young and life is wonderful and have my latte and, play my games. They have missed the relevance of the writings of the Bible, the Old and New Testament both. And they don't think that they're relevant. They think a lot of them are myths, like, Garden of Eden was a myth. Maybe they might let Atlantis be a real thing, but even that's probably a myth. Nobody could find it. And so to them, there are just no proofs that they need to pay attention to what's in the Bible. That's why the good Lord laid his hand on me years ago in 1988 was the first time he grabbed hold of me. It was strange. I was out in the backyard at my home there in Australia. It was the evening time. The stars were out.
I remember this story, folks. Pay attention. This is good. Go ahead.
I didn't know I told you that before, but
go ahead. Anyway,
there I was looking at our rabbit hutch there that I built for our two rabbits, and my own female. They were down there, and it was nighttime, and they were kind of sniffing around with the stuff in the cage, looking for something to eat. And I stood there looking at them, leaning on my shovel. And all of a sudden, I was thinking about This is kind of like how God was looking on Adam and Eve in the little garden he built for them, you know, just kind of aimless kind of thinking. And I turned kind of up like this and looked down the driveway, which is dark, you know. All of a sudden, it was like all the pieces of a moving jigsaw puzzle, the stars, the rabbit hutch, me, the driveway, everything went and locked into place and moved together. And it was as though that was a moment when I was told, this is what you need to do. And I thought, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden? Well, I don't know. And I walked into the house after that and began a search, which finished in 2014, with locating the actual, the real Garden of Eden, identifying it by every clue that's in the Bible, saying, is this clue such and such? Prove it over here. And once I proved that, to me, it meant you can tell the millennials and anybody else that doesn't believe, the Bible is correct. If it's only a historical document, it is correct. This did happen. If you talk to the local natives in Africa where this the Garden of Eden is in Tanzania, they will tell you where it is. It's called the Ngorongoro, and it is where God came down, made man, put him into this crater floor, and that was Adam and Eve. They called them different names, but the tribe said it. And then when God was finished with them, he put them outside the crater, which was the garden, into the land next to it, and then God went back up into the heavens. Now, you know, people say, oh, well, that's Africa's Garden of Eden. No, that's the real Garden of Eden. Four rivers came out of there. Four rivers. And I found them.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Oh, unfortunately, the clock ran out on us again today. I told you this was going to be good, as Stan Dale never fails to deliver. I always enjoy talking to him. His information is backed with all sorts of references, and he's got footnotes, and he's got articles, and you need to go to his website, standale.com, look around, and you'll see what I mean. His information is spot on as far as I'm concerned, and I just thoroughly enjoy interviewing him from time to time, bringing him back on the program. But that's all the time we have for today's program. You need to come back tomorrow because we're going to pick it right back up where we left off. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.